I didn't really have a subject to jump into here. Why don't we just start on questions? Anything that occurs to you, you want to ask about? Bill, did you have a question?
Well, I do. First off, the decision, and it appears to be a controversial one, about backing away from some EPA rules. What's your view of that?
Well, I don't know all the details. I believe the decision the president made was not to go ahead and adopt a stricter standard on ozone as the EPA was preparing to do, and instead to wait another couple of years and continue to review that matter. And I think there's a need to update that standard in 2013, I believe is correct. So at that time, there would be a possibility of going ahead and adopting a stricter standard. I don't know, frankly, all of the arguments that the president considered in making the decision to hold off on a stricter standard at this time, but I don't have a strong opinion as to whether his decision was correct or not.
Well, the decision was made apparently on the basis that these types of rules, he was looking at rules that would be burdensome to business. Does it indicate, just even without information, does that give credence to the call that rules such as this hurt the job creators and hurt jobs?
Well, I think that most economists who would look at it would say that some of the rule changes that are contemplated clearly will have some kind of an economic cost to businesses. There's obviously a benefit to society from those rules being adopted at the same time, and there's a balancing as to which is more important. As I say, I don't know whether or not this particular decision not to go to a stricter standard for ozone at this point and put that decision off for a couple of years was a good or a bad decision by the president. But I think most economists probably would concede that there will be costs involved with going to a stricter standard, and the president didn't think those costs should be incurred at this time.
Okay, I'll pass for now.
Okay. John, did you have a question?
Yes, good morning, Senator.
Morning.
The federal fuel tax is set to expire on the 30th of this month. And will that be coming up for a vote? Are you going to be trying to get that extended?
I think it will be coming up for a vote as part of a transportation bill that I think will come to the floor here in the next week or two. And my understanding is that there's going to be an effort to just maintain the federal gas tax as it is today. If we fail to do that or refuse to do that, of course, that would cut off funding going into the Highway Trust Fund and make it impossible for us to continue to fund highway repairs and maintenance. Unless someone can make a case that there's another way to allow us to pay for the cost of maintaining the interstate highway system, I would certainly not. I would not want to see us just allow that tax to expire.
How much does New Mexico stand to gain from that tax generally?
Well, we get about $330 million each year from the federal government through the Highway Trust Fund for highway construction and maintenance. And so we would lose that.
All right, sir. That's all I have.
Uh-huh.
Thank
you. Bill, did you have another question?
I do. The subject is jobs. The president is going to speak Thursday night about jobs, job creation. He's going to propose, according to advanced news stories about his speech, a giant infrastructure project. In terms of private sector jobs, where typically does a jobs initiative come from? Typically in the Congress or typically with the president? Is there a usual place for it to start?
Well, I don't know that there's a usual place. I think that it's not unusual for the president to call on Congress to enact certain policies that will stimulate private sector job creation in the way of tax credits, of tax reductions. I think one thing the president's expected to call for in this speech is a continuation of the reduced level of withholding tax on employees going forward. That will we did reduce that at the beginning of the year. I think it went from 6.2 down to 4.2%, and that will go back up to 6.2% unless we extend it again. I think the president will call for us to extend the tax cut again for this next year, beginning in January. So that's one example of the kind of incentive that the Congress tries to put in place to encourage private sector job creation. There are a lot of other examples someone could cite.
Well, we hear all the rhetoric about where are the jobs, where are the jobs, and tax breaks were needed to help job creators create the jobs, and yet in August, job creators created no net jobs, the worst record in decades. Is there a correlation, in your view, between tax breaks for job creators and the creation of jobs?
Well, I think there is a correlation. I do think most economists who've looked at this would conclude that the incentives that have been put in place and the policies that have been put in place to try to moderate and shorten the length of this recession have had that effect to some extent. They haven't done everything we wanted them to do. Obviously, we still have a terrible situation as far as jobs in the housing sector, for example. We need to find ways to fix that, and I hope the president will have some ideas on that that he can present to the Congress tomorrow in his speech as well. But, you know, there's a variety of things that the government has tried to do. I think the good news is, at least it seems as though we have bipartisan agreement that the issue before us today is job creation. And we spent most of this year so far talking about extension of the debt limit, talking about whether or not to keep the government functioning and pass a continuing resolution. At least I hope, and it appears as though those issues are now not going to plague us this fall. We can focus on job creation. I hope we can get consensus on steps that will actually help create jobs.
Do you think something will actually be done in the by the House majority in terms of creating a bill or some incentive for jobs?
Well, I don't know. I think they've had a pretty consistent drumbeat that they were opposed to anything that would add in the way of government spending, that they would oppose anything that would add to the deficit. And I think that there'll be a need on their part to look at what the president proposes tomorrow in his speech and see whether or not they are going to oppose all of those initiatives. I hope that they choose not to. I hope that there'll be a consensus, at least on some of what he proposes, that we should move ahead.
Finally, I'd like to ask about the plutonium facility at the Los Alamos Lab. That's coming up for an appropriations vote, and it could go to the floor of both houses at some point. Is there really, in your view, is there a need for more nuclear weapons? And is this project, in its size and in its design, the way to go about it?
Well, frankly, I don't think there's a need for more nuclear weapons. I think the administration's position is, the president's position, and the one I would agree with, is that we should be working to try to get agreement with the Russians and others about continuing to reduce the size of the nuclear stockpile. But at the same time that we're trying to do that and doing that, I hope, we should be maintaining the ability to have a nuclear stockpile since others in the world will have nuclear stockpiles. So exactly how that translates in terms of what facilities we need to be able to produce and maintain that nuclear stockpile, that's hard to say, and you get into a lot of complicated detail there. The facility that is expected to be voted on relating to Los Alamos is what the Department of Energy has determined is needed, and I have no good basis for disagreeing with that at this point.
I've heard no real assessment of how nuclear weapons triggers, plutonium triggers like they make at Los Alamos, wear out, but I have talked to scientists who say they're good for 100 years. Why would there be a need for something?
Well, I think, as I understand, what they do both at Los Alamos and the other weapons-related laboratories that the Department of Energy operates is they do a constant monitoring and testing to determine whether or not the weapons that are in our nuclear arsenal are reliable and safe and capable of doing what they're intended to do. And as necessary, they have to replace particular parts of those weapons, including the plutonium-related parts, the core of the weapon. And they're trying to maintain the capability to be able to replace those parts as necessary.
Okay, that's it for me. Thanks.
Okay. John, do you have anything else?
No, sir. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you all for talking with me.
Thanks very much.
Sure. Bye-bye. Thanks.